RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Super Bowl! Super Browns! Yeah!
Thank you.
Kenny,
what a day.
You were the ambassador to the show that was at the stadium yesterday.
It was awesome.
How amazing was it?
It was awesome. It was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever been to in my life.
Do you believe in miracles?
I swear to God, it was one of the greatest, one of the most therapeutic moments, one of the most soul-filling moments of my entire life, certainly of my entire career. I could not have been happier to be there. I could not have been more thrilled to be there and to share it with everybody. And I've noticed this. Now, we got a lot to get to, and later on, I don't know if we're going to do it right now. I do want to examine, if I would have watched it at home, how I feel about a certain somebody compared to watching it in person. Because when it comes to a certain somebody who wears a certain number that's shared with an all-time legend who's his mentor, I walk down from 29 rows, it's section 537, and I'm thinking, oh, that's it. He's the guy. He's the guy, and I'm there with bells on, my friend. However, let me explain this to you. So we went to the game. Well, excuse me. I went. You didn't go. I don't know, and I'm going to ask people if I should hold that over your head. But that's going to be for another day or for later on today. So we went to the game. Pony and Mueller are absolutely excellent hangs. I hate to say it, but it's true. I've known both of those guys for a long time. Me, Pony, Mueller, we went to the game. Mueller just wore like a black, like North Face. And then Pony wore, because Mueller was afraid to wear anything Pittsburgh.
But he's also not a Steelers fan.
Mueller is. Pony is, but he certainly is rooting against the Browns. There's no doubt about it. Like I think Pony would root for terrorism over the Browns. Like
I thought Mueller's whole family was Browns fans, and he grew up a Browns fan.
According to the story, Mueller's family started a bar, and we went to it yesterday to like take a look around the place. It was almost like the Henry Louis Gates coming home. Like it was like a weird. Like, he's like, oh, man, this was here, and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, this is kind of cool, okay, because I'd never been there before. And credit where it's due. Geno's. It was a place called Geno's. Yeah. I'd never been. Lima's like, oh, I've been there many times.
Guys, it's 6 a.m. Guys are there having a drink right now.
Tony was
guarantee
like,
it.
Would Lima ever be caught dead here? And I'm like, no, no. And Lima's like, I've been there many, many times. I go, oh, my God. So it was great. People there were awesome. Mueller was telling people, and then like I think he went on like a little mini tour of how it's changed. He's like, yeah, I used to crawl around. There was a pool table over there. I used to crawl around on it. Da, 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 da. And then his family moved to Pittsburgh, and he was like 5, and then they would bring him back. Like he'd stay there for 2 weeks, like in the bar as like a 7-year-old or whatever.
That's what we did back in the day.
Yeah, that's what you did. That's what you did. So he went there. It was a good time. Then we went over to which I'm sorry, I've always called it Dino's, so I'm going to keep calling it Dino's because of the song. But Dina's over on Memphis, and then we went home. I went home, and then you know I assume they made it home all right. They went down the turnpike, and away they go. And I don't even know if they're on today. But the feeling in the stadium, it was so much like Pony wasn't that nervous. Mueller was nervous. He was like, I don't know if I should wear Steelers stuff. I go, Mueller, we won 3 games. There's going to be a lot of Steelers fans, everybody. There's going to be a lot of Steelers fans.
That is safety in numbers.
And I noticed something. So there were a ton of people there. Way more. That, like, if they would have played, like, Jacksonville or something. Let's open up the phone lines, by the way. If they would have played at Jacksonville or something, like, who knows how many people actually would have been in the stadium.
Well, you could see it on the broadcast, too. You could see, as compared to, say, like the Bills game, actually there were a lot of empty seats up high. There were way, way less, at least what I was able to see on TV.
So I noticed something, though, is it was so cordial. Like, I'm sure somebody doesn't have that same story, but I'm like, I'm with the 537 boys. I'm up there. There's a ton of people. And I just noticed it was cordial. And it came to me. I go, oh my gosh. I go, it's easy. I go, it's the holidays. You got a lot of people either in town, whatever. There's family members. There's a lot of mixed family members in terms of there's Steelers fans in these families. I was like, I guarantee it. Like, and there were a lot of girl was wearing the Brown stuff, guy was wearing the Steelers stuff, vice versa. A lot of grandfathers, but their grandkids were there. Like, I met this guy; his granddaughter was there. His daughter was wearing a Troy Polamalu jersey. It was her first ever NFL game. There were a lot of family members, and so that's why I think it was so cordial. Because I think a lot of people were like, yeah, Browns are probably not going to win this game. And
so this was a lot of house and family divided?
Yes, yes. And that's why, but there was nothing like I felt like when they played the Yankees, they lost to the Yankees in game five of the LCS. I told you there were nearly four fights just on the steps alone, like on the way down. Like that was a very bitter, bitter game five. This, there was no, I saw like two guys and they kind of jawed with each other. And then that was it. I didn't see anything else. I mean, you got 60,000 people. I mean, there were a lot of people. There probably wasn't 60. There were probably like 45, 50. There were a lot more people there than I thought it was going to be. It was really, really packed compared to other late season games. And the feeling of it, I'm telling you, Tone, it was, to say therapeutic, I don't know if it's therapeutic, but it's like you kind of, when you watch every game on TV, when you watch every game in the office, like I get you're going to laugh and Keith Britton's going to send texts, but it's true. I got that feeling of Andy Roth, where Andy Roth goes, you know, you really got to be here. You gotta feel it. I felt it. I felt like the feeling of the fans there. I'm like, this is me. It's been too long. I got to be here again. I'm like, we got to do this at least once or twice a year. Somewhere, like, doesn't always have to be in the same section, whatever. But I was like, I got to see it at least once or twice a year just to have the feeling of the fans, to be there, to see what they're going through. Like, it was almost a big survey to see how the fan base felt. The real reactions, like going to the bathroom, hearing what they said about Shador, hearing what they were saying about Stefanski. I was in the bathroom when Shador threw that pick in the second half. Like, hearing all that, people in the beer line, people on the escalators. It was a real people feeling. And I'm a people person, so I loved it. I loved it. It was great. And I met a lot of great listeners yesterday, a lot of great Browns fans yesterday, met some very nice Steelers fans yesterday. Just a hell of a day. And then they won the game. So that's
even,
that made it even better.
It off.
I could not believe it was 10-6, and I just kept waiting. I go, you know, it's going to be 13-10. We're losing this game.
Well, when Aaron drove him right down the field, he had been able to do nothing all game.
Are you talking when it was 13-6 and he drove him right down?
Just the final drive. He marched him right down the field.
I felt differently. I was like, they're going to let him get I try to know it, but sometimes I'm just full of it because I kept waiting for the other shoe to fall. And I'm like, all right, it's 10-6. This is going to be 13-10. This is going to be the end of this game. And it never went that way. And maybe they were just trying to stay away from Miles so much. A lot of people drew that conclusion that they game planned away from Miles setting the record so much that it affected them actually scoring points and affected the final outcome, which may very well be a possibility. I think losing DK Metcalf was a big stop to that. I think that having Denzel Ward out there, I didn't know if Denzel Ward was going to go for the rest of the year.
He was awesome.
Denzel Ward made a tremendous difference.
I should say he's awesome. I don't know. He was only awesome on the final three plays because Aaron didn't try to throw the ball the entire game at anybody. He lost his tight end, the 400-pound tight end, broke his arm.
That's right. Gosh.
So he had he had nobody. They had just signed Adam Thielen and then he had his Scantling. What's his name? And he offered
Valdez
nothing.
Scantling.
Like he was trying to run routes against with the game on the line. Valdez Scantling.
I gotta get Marquez.
Yeah, and he was trying to get Montez free against Denzel Ward, and that was such a mismatch.
It was It was just, it was amazing. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and they went, could they get the punt back? And I was mad that they punted. I'll admit, like, my emotions played in. I'm like, you got the ball at your own 30. You're a 3-win team. It's fourth and a foot. For the love of God, what are you doing punting the ball? I'm like, just go for it. Try to keep the ball. See what happens. And they punted it away. And I thought, I'm like, here we go. And they went 4 and out. We get that easy field goal, run 3 draws, get the easy field goal. And even when they were driving, I'm like, they're going to play loose coverage. You know, you're not going to play that usual press man. You'll play that loose coverage. I go, they're going to get down there. They're going to have a couple of whacks at it. And Pony's like, they ain't moved the ball all day. I go, Aaron Rodgers isn't an idiot. They're going to get down there. They're going to have a couple of looks at it.
And he actually had to stay on his feet.
Yes.
And that's why you thought there were a couple instances. I'm like, oh my God, Miles is actually going to get it now. Because the drive before, I'm like, it's over. Miles is not going to have any shots here. And on that drive, I'm like, oh, this could get interesting. Miles now definitely has a shot. And how poetic, how amazing would it be on this final drive if he has a chance to end the game, because a sack, you know, effectively ends the game at any point there.
Yeah, it was. I thought if they had one timeout, it would have made a difference. If they really would have had one more timeout on that final drive, maybe it would have made a difference. So they didn't have any timeouts. So they got to go to the air. And now everything, you know, once you get to red zone defense, what makes it tough to score in the red zone is that you got everything in front of you. And like, you can't, when you play loose coverage, you're doing what? You're guarding against a deep shot. So they didn't want to give up the deep shot. So you give up what's in front of you, and they move the ball down the field relatively quickly. Well, now you can't get past anybody because you got an end zone back there. So everything's kept in front of you, and they couldn't find anybody, ended up leading to the win. And I was surprised. I was excited. And again, everybody was just cordial, man. Like, it was, there were a lot of Steelers fans who were upset with Mike Tomlin.
Oh, yeah.
Pony and Mo were ripping me and go, you know, they're going to win next week. And he goes, typical Tomlin, they'll win by 3 touchdowns. And
you guys
are going to sit there on the radio and go, well, that's Tomlin for you. Because, you know, they say that funny over there, like Tomlin. Oh, that's Tomlin for you. Oh, you guys and your Tomlin. You guys can't see it right in front of you how terrible this is. Oh, yeah, they started going
after. They're underdogs next week, and that's the only time they can win. When they're favorites. Do you see that number when they are favorites over a team that's 8 wins, that they are 8 wins better than?
No, I'm sorry. What
1-4 or 0-4-1 in those games over the last like 5 years.
I didn't know it was that bad.
So they always lose these games.
I saw that I thought you were going with a different number, because I saw the Ravens' chances to get into the playoffs before yesterday's games was 4%, and now it's up to 52%.
Yeah.
So very strange friends. Very strange friends.
It's probably going to be Snoop. It might not even be Lamar.
Well, Lamar's got the injury, back injury now.
But they might get TJ.
Doctor says he needs a bacheotomy.
They think they'll get TJ Watt back. Because it was hard pregame. The report was, well, TJ Watt probably could have played in this game yesterday, which thank God he didn't. But had he, because he's had games where he's absolutely decimated the Browns and a rookie quarterback. Like, you know how that could be. And Tomlin said, well, you didn't practice all week. You can't play. It's like, well, you need this game. Like, you guys realize you need this game. And they acted all week. There was kind of a hubris about them where they just, I don't know. I can't say they didn't respect the Browns, because they respected Myles Garrett. Holy crap, did they respect.
Yeah,
almost
they did.
To a fault. Almost to where it probably lost them the game. You know,
I had an eye on him the whole game.
Well,
I watched him whole game.
You saw he kept lining up wider and wider and wider. My buddy's like, he's in the slot. He's never going to get home. He's in the slot now.
It was. I was like, oh, my God. It's like, you keep going, you're going to get chipped by someone on the sidelines by accident. It's like, I couldn't
trip
believe
over
it.
Mike Tomlin.
Oh, my God. It was it was disappointing that he didn't set, because now I think that there's going to be, you guys know this, there's going to be an asterisk then if he does it against Cincinnati. Which is going to suck, but, you know, the other team's got pros for a reason. They're not going to make it easy
on you. I thought about that a lot yesterday. Because already the Steeler fans were like, TJ tied the record in 15 games. Now it's going to take Miles 17 games. But, you know, by the numbers, like, it pass rush opportunities, like, he still has a chance to decimate this record. But, of course, nobody knows that number. Nobody cares. So his best shot, honestly, to make it memorable, is just have a monster. Just a monster game, because the Bengals are not going to play that game. Like, Joe Burrow is not going to be so afraid of Myles Garrett that he's just going to not play football. Like, he's someone who will give up the sack record, and I think he'll shake his hand. Aaron Rodgers was not going to do that yesterday.
No. Well, he's never sacked. He got close a couple times yesterday. He's never sacked Aaron Rodgers. Of course, I think it was only the third time they've played.
At the Christmas Day game.
Yeah, the Christmas game. Brett Hundley was the one who started here. Where they were up by 14 in the fourth and then lost.
That was the overtime? They go to overtime?
That was Hundley. I want to say there was one other instance, but maybe I'm wrong, and then there was this one. So it might have been two or three times, and that's it. Might have just been twice, if I'm not mistaken. You might be right about that. But Aaron Rodgers isn't going to go down like that. Frankly, I'm kind of glad. I'll just say it because I don't want it to be some stupid Brett Favre thing. I didn't want it to be that way. If you're going to get it, you might as well legitimately get it.
Well, Ken, he was just throwing the ball backwards anytime he was in duress, and his backs were getting lit up. So that's how they didn't even know they were getting the ball. He was just like, well, flip it. I don't even know who's around me. And then one time he ended up, it looked like he pitched it, and then you saw the replay. It's like, no, he got sacked, and he fumbled, and the ball plopped up in the air. It just wasn't Miles. Miles would have gotten the sack record there had it have been him, because they went back and gave a sack. I think it was to Wright. But that play would have been the sack record, and you'd have been like, he didn't even go down. That would have been a weird, weird attribution.
So now I was planning on doing this later. I think you're going to end up doing this in the next segment. How would I have felt? Because I think I might have felt a little differently had I been watching at home instead of in person. Because as I came down the steps at the end of the game, which I forgot there were such traffic jams coming down the steps after games. When I was coming down the steps, I said, well, that's it. He's the guy for 2026. I go, that's it. He's the guy. He's the man. And you said there were a lot of people feeling differently on the internet after that game yesterday. So you right now are drafting sixth after that win.
Yeah.
You are a four-win team, biggest win of the year. Merry Christmas, Browns fans. Does that mean that Shador secured the job for 2026? 216-474-0092. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima. Take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app on a Browns Victory Monday.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Boy, did Shador Sanders look good. God, were those some awful throws.
Wait, they had 13, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
You and Shador messed that up.
Yeah.
He didn't know how many points they had yesterday.
Just felt
either.
Like 10 the whole game.
Well, he said we had 10 points, and he looked at somebody and goes, no, 13. Yeah, 13.
So it's all a matter of perspective.
It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over here is Andy Baskin.
Yes.
Wearing a real stylish sweater.
Really? All right.
What the heck
like
is
it.
Up with you?
What do you think? Christmas. My wife got me something.
Wow.
She hates what I wear, so she's like,
well, you look good, man.
Well, thank you. All right, I'm good for the day then.
Yeah, that's a nice sweater.
So what happens when I don't work with you for a couple days.
Wow.
I don't roll in here in my pajamas.
You look good.
Thanks, man.
New sweater.
Look what's behind the glass over there.
Yeah, I know. Look at him over there.
Look at that.
That's Mac Robinson, kids.
Morning, fellas.
All right,
happy to be back with you guys. I'm good.
Good.
Oh, time for a haircut.
Number to
we're letting it go.
It's radio, so you're cool, but
it's
time for a haircut.
Well, he has hair. I mean, look what he's done.
Gotta let it go while
he's got a mop, man. Let it go. That's
great.
Gotta
take care of it, though, man.
That's great.
Gotta take care of it.
That's great. 216-474-0092 is our number. What's your perspective on what happened yesterday? Because the Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, it was 13-6. By the way, I had it written down right here. 13-6.
Yeah, and you still said 13.
Yeah, I still said 10. 13-6. They beat the Steelers. That's great. They continue to beat the Steelers at home. which is really weird. Now four straight and six of the last seven games at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Riddle me this.
Yeah.
When they had the ball late, Pittsburgh, yeah, and they were going down the field.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not feel like they were going to score a touchdown and then win on a two-point conversion?
No, I thought they were going to go into overtime.
I think Chris Boswell
would kick it and win it. That's what I thought.
There was a part of me that thought Steelers take the ball, go all the way down the field, and then get the conversion. And be like, oh.
And if the referees didn't swallow their whistle on the last play, Steelers would have had a first down on time down on the one-yard line, right?
Yeah, I was waiting for that, too. That would have been, I don't know. It was an entertaining
game. I'm glad they swallowed their whistle there. I don't think you should have called anything in that situation. But if you're going by the letter of the law, I think that was probably pass interference on Denzel.
I got to be
honest. Never looked for the ball, right?
Was the ball catchable?
Yeah, kind of was.
I mean, it's
kind of here.
I mean, if
kind of catchable. Aaron was going to his Green Bay buddy, and it just didn't click. Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Again, I was talking to Fearless Leader. I was like, why did Pittsburgh decide to go to the outside when they were killing it through the middle? Why wouldn't they just go right back to where they were? Why wouldn't you go back to Freiermuth? Why wouldn't you? Like, I didn't.
Browns went prevent defense.
Yeah.
Let's prevent. Sometimes wins.
I was okay. Miles was in a great mood afterwards. I thought Miles had a great quote. Maybe we'll play later in the show about the draft and, you know, how those guys could care less and they just want to win. And, man, I walked out of that press conference yesterday going, that was between that and the growth and development I think that we're seeing from Shadur. Those are the two things I walked out of that with yesterday after, when the game was all said and done.
You mentioned Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Here's what he had to say.
No one signed to lose. No one signed up to lose at all. So I don't care, you know, what the situation is with the record. Not a single one of us want to line up and lay down to a team or a man that's in front of us. We got put here in this place or selected, whatever it was, drafted, to come here and win. Has it always been that way? No. But I'll be damned if I'm just going to go out there and lay down to another team just because we want some more draft picks. That's just not me.
No guy in the locker room feels that way. Why would we enhance the possibility of bringing someone in who could take my job? In many cases, that's the situation. I get it. Never seen actual guys, you know, tank a game. Now, coaching decisions, front office moves, for instance, the Raiders. Yeah, Max Crosby, you're going to sit down this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brock Bowers, you're going to sit down this game. Oh, we lost to the Giants. I'll be damned.
Oh, is that how that worked out?
Yeah, that's how that worked. Well, look at there. Took out our best offensive player and our best defensive player, and we lost. My gosh, we're sitting at the number one spot. Fernando, what do you think of Vegas?
I caught a clip of the at the end of the Raiders game of their local news that started. That was like their postgame show they had afterwards. And there were two hosts there.
Were they celebrating getting the number one pick?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because the female anchor looked at the male anchor and said, well, disappointment for, you know, Raider Nation as, you know, they lose today. And then she looked at the guy and she goes, but like you said, a loss was a win. And he was like, you bet it was. It was awesome. I was just laughing. I'm like, yeah, I know that feeling. I think I understand that.
What does the win over the Pittsburgh Steelers leave you thinking? What's it leave you thinking?
So my first thought was that because they won, they dropped down to what, the sixth pick?
They're sixth right now.
So now that they've dropped back to six, and who knows what's going to happen next week and how high they could end up going, but I think seven.
Not very. This win.
I think
this
seven, win is, was, seven is the probably the best pick they could get.
Seven is the lowest pick they can get right now.
Yeah, not best, lowest.
Yeah.
And then
So they're definitely top seven. They're tied with the Commanders. And right now the Commanders have the better strength of schedule.
But they're not going to fall into the top four, right? Top three or four. I'm trying to remember. I looked at this morning.
Yeah, they're behind there, so that's unlikely.
They need a lot of help.
Yeah, to get higher in the draft, right?
Correct.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the win yesterday for Shadur, I think, gives him more more equity in being the starting quarterback
without
next year.
Question.
Because now you've kind of, unless you're going to package together, what, you'll have three picks in the top 40. Unless you're going to package those up and try to move up in the draft, I just don't see it.
Which you could do.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm okay, and I'm good with. I want to see more of Shadur. I still do. Every time I walk out of it, there are times like on that first drive yesterday. I'm like, all right, hey, this is easy.
He looked great in the first quarter.
We don't have to worry about drafting a quarterback next year. This is it. We're good. Let's move forward. And then he threw the one interception. And I was like, And I looked at Ryder, who's sitting next to me. I was like, oh, that was such a rookie throw. And he was like, yep, it was.
Andy, the touchdown pass to Harold Fannin was just screaming to be picked off by a Steeler. Screaming to be intercepted.
But the trick was Fannin knew where the ball was going. It was kind of windy there yesterday. The fourth and one.
We'll have that the when fourth, you play outside.
When the Browns went for it.
Not when we get the dome, baby.
When the Browns went for it on fourth and seven, in the was that first quarter? And they were at, was that the first quarter? Second quarter. I don't know. When they were heading towards the west end zone.
It was in the second quarter.
It was second quarter.
It was a 10-3 game at the time.
And so they were going down towards that. And I was like, why aren't we? What? We're going for it. I guess you're you don't really want to punt, but why wouldn't you give your field goal kicker, who's been pretty good this season.
Been pretty good.
Except for the one game.
The first week.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you give him a shot at this? And then Kevin said in the post game, he said it was because of the wind.
Yeah.
That they didn't want to do it. And it made sense. It just made sense.
I understand that, and I agree with it. All I know is that by beating the Steelers yesterday, I think you've given yourself more questions than answers. Because this team played really hard against Buffalo. A good team. Now, Buffalo lost yesterday. They went for two and didn't convert it after their kicker Badgley missed an extra point. Anyhow, they lost by a point to the Eagles. But the Browns played really well against Buffalo. They played well enough to beat the Steelers yesterday. It's a terrific defensive effort.
Yeah.
The offense beat up, not overly talented, won. So they put up enough points to win the game. To me, it leaves you thinking, well, this team's playing really hard for Kevin Stefanski. Is that good? Is that enough? Especially considering what the roster looks like. I'm not going to go away from that. He's playing with a roster that's just not very good on the offensive side of the ball.
I'm looking forward to talking to Scott Petrak coming up at 11 because, it seems like there is this the tear in the beginning of the season was that people felt like Kevin directly was the reason Shadur wasn't playing, right? Is that a fair assessment?
There's so much baggage there, Andy, on just what people have been saying all year long about it, and assuming that Shadur should have been playing all along when maybe they brought him along just right, he's gotten better, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think
is that all on him or does the coaching help?
Their biggest mistake was after they traded Joe. And they made Shadur the number two quarterback and gave him, no time.
Well,
that to me, that was once you decided that he was going to be your number two quarterback and you knew that you had, that you were going to put him behind a rookie, you had to know that at some point he was going to play. And I think that they didn't do a good job getting him ready for that first time that he played in the game before Baltimore, right? Baltimore? Raiders. It was before the Raiders game.
It was the Raiders.
Yeah.
It was against Baltimore, and it was 4-16.
Yeah. So you go back to the Baltimore game. He wasn't ready. He just wasn't. And
you understand that, and I understand that. You might disagree with it, but we understand it. They were trying to get their other rookie quarterback, who was at that time the starter.
I understood.
Get him really up.
Yeah,
up
and
to
I understood.
To make
so,
some,
but here, my point on plays. This was they. I don't think they had him ready for that game, but I do think that they have done something along the way between that game and right now that. They've helped. That the coaching staff has done something to help him. That he has done stuff to help himself.
Sure.
Now, part of it is reps. Part of it is just getting experience. But you see some of the mistakes that he made early on, they've been corrected. And if you go back and listen to what Shadur said yesterday in the postgame press conference, there's no question that they are working together. He is learning and becoming a better quarterback each and every week. I think so. And that's why I'm not as... In the beginning, I was like, "Oh, they're going to have to draft a quarterback. They're going to have to." Now, I don't feel that way at all. And
especially based on where they now sit,
yeah. If you didn't,
would you agree with that?
Yes. And if you didn't like Kevin, do you think Kevin's helped him? Do you think Kevin and Shadur are now a little bit more on the same page? Do you think they're working together? Can you give Kevin a little credit for what growth we have seen? From Shadur. Shadur's got a lot of that's on Shadur, but some of that's also on Kevin. And if you go back and listen to what Shadur said yesterday, especially because I asked him in the press conference yesterday, I go, if you could give yourself advice from, the first time you stepped onto the field to where you were now, what you were about to learn, what would you do? And in part of that answer was him explaining things that had been coached to him. There's no question about it. It was a coaching principle that he brought out in that. We'll talk about that later in the show. But I again, if you're going to give Shador credit for getting better, is it all on Shador, or can you say, hey, Kevin and the coaching staff have helped him a little bit?
Well, I think they've helped him a lot.
Yeah, I do too, but there are fans that don't want to see that.
Sure. Oh, there are fans who want Kevin out of here.
Yeah.
And you could make the argument for that.
Yep.
They have four wins.
Yeah.
How could you not make the argument for that?
Well, go back and see what Jimmy said. Three wins wasn't acceptable in the beginning of the year.
Well, right? They don't have three.
That's right. They have four now.
Andy, on the post-game show yesterday, Tyvis Powell is going to join us at noon.
Yeah.
We just chatted extensively. There are so many decisions to be made about this football team. And I think they'll start 1 week from today. We're going to start to see decisions.
Oh, do you know what next Monday is going to be like? Ooh,
oh, yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Absolutely.
It's going to be super quiet.
We're going to be sitting here monitoring decisions that are made all around the NFL, and they could be made here in Cleveland. What decisions do you want those to be, folks? Because I think yesterday's win did nothing but make the whole situation even more convoluted.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The show is back! That's right, everybody. How you doing? It is a Browns victory Monday. That opened courtesy of University Hospital Browns Radio Network and Jake Murren not on the board. Yes! We've got Jax Gregory on the board. Yes. We've got Meredith Kane on the 2020s. Suck it, Pittsburgh. Get the hell out of my town. Woo!
Just tossed them out.
Just tossed them on their ass, like Mike Tomlin will be in 1 week's time.
They might have left yesterday on the bus. I think they're long gone.
I said get out.
Yeah, now they're gone. Now they're gone.
Yesterday, when they won that game, I gave them the old bleep off and the Ari from Entourage. No, I did not treat women poorly. I just said, get the bleep out. That was the Ari part
all
of this.
All right, all right.
How you doing?
I'm good. It's always fun the first day back after a few days off. And obviously after a win, we don't get enough of them.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we all took the day today to celebrate something we don't often get, which is a win over Pittsburgh. I'm glad we didn't spend the day bitching about how good Shador was or wasn't.
Yeah, no, we did not. We did that.
About draft positioning. We definitely did that. I'm so glad that we could just said, God bless the Browns. Those boys played hard yesterday. They got a dub in the division, something we're not used to them doing, winning at the end of the year when they are mathematically eliminated from playoffs and relevance. No. I'm glad we all bound together as one in unity and said, bleep you, Pittsburgh. Papa's got a brand new win. I tried.
Okay, so I'm glad. I could tell that you're happy. I'm very happy for you.
You're happy that I'm happy. This is the happiness train, folks.
That's all it is. That's all I got. I got my happiness based off of your happiness, and so I'm happy that you're happy. But the reality is that, sadly, we did have a lot of those discussions. We did have a lot of people that felt like yesterday was a disaster because you didn't finish the job. You had a three-win season, and you didn't stick with the plan, essentially.
All right, so I'm so glad you said this, because I'm going to tell you when to start the timer. We're gonna start today's show with a choose your own adventure as I bequeath four strong takes from yesterday's win over Pittsburgh.
All right, four any direction
and any direction you get to choose, and the fans out there, you guys get to choose. We do have a poll up on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat.
The All Star game. We get a fan vote in this. How are we gonna tally these numbers?
Theorems. Quantitative data. I don't know what you want from me.
Does my vote get superseded by a super chat?
We'll never know. But we might
well,
know.
We have to know. We have to find out. It's the only way,
it's like
the only
Shador.
Way this works.
It's beauty's in the eye of the beholder. We'll find out.
All right, we'll just say collectively at the end of it, what I choose is also what everyone else chose.
Or they'll vote, and then I'll ignore one of you.
We're not even running a poll.
We'll see. Okay. We actually are running a poll.
With all four options you're about to name off?
No, not on this. It's a different poll.
Right,
it's
we're not running a poll then. Okay.
But we are running a poll. It's just not this poll.
All right, what poll
it's
are
not
we
a choose-your-own-adventure poll.
What poll are we running right now?
The poll we're running right now on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel is this.
Drop those corn emojis.
Don't corn think I forgot.
Drop those corn emojis.
You get some corn, and you get some corn.
Hell yeah.
All that being said, this is a truth trust with a nest, right? With the tree in the nest and all that.
What? Yeah, all right.
Heading into the fourth quarter, what were you rooting for? A Browns win or draft positioning? Be honest here. This is an honest show, all right? We do not front on this show. We ain't fronting now. All right, you ready to start the clock? This is your choose your own adventure. I'm popping off four takes here.
All right.
Because I'm ready. I'm raring to go.
All right,
We haven't started yet. Well, all right, okay. Do you want to start top of a minute?
Is the whole segment just going to be us talking about us potentially starting?
It could be. If you want it to be, it could be.
Number one,
Shador is your starter in 2026. Suck it, Pittsburgh. Two, Kevin Stefanski might have saved his job yesterday. Three, crying over beating a division rival playing for the AFC North crown is the epitome of loser mentality. And four, the Steelers chose stopping Myles Garrett over winning the game. Bang, biscuit, 20 seconds, in and out.
All right, I want number three. Because three seems what you're the most passionate about. I'm going to be a good teammate here. I'm gonna give it to you on a silver platter. You seem fired up about three. You seem fired up about the idea that there are fans out there that think yesterday went poorly when in fact they did get a win against the Steelers.
Yeah, it's crazy talk to me. And I've heard things like meaningless game thrown out there. It wasn't meaningless for the people that paid their money to go see that game. It wasn't meaningless for that team. And if it saves Kevin Stefanski's job or solidifies Shador as a starter, in no way can it be a meaningless win.
I'm going to let the record show, by the way, that I picked out exactly what those four topics were going to be in the pre-show, and we had them all 4 for 4.
Yep. You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with no surprise takes.
We're not going to reinvent the wheel in a Week 17 win over the Pittsburgh. I'm not going to start being like, hey, I know you want to talk about draft positioning, but Bajorquez, right?
Well, that's what I thought you were doing. I mean, where's the curveball?
MVP,
I thought the curveball was going to happen.
Most valuable punter. You doubted me. You doubted I could get those four takes off in 30 seconds.
Where's the Bajorquez take?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I said. I said, where's the surprise? Is it going to be something like that? Yes, I did doubt it, but that's why you were in the hurry-up offense, so I appreciate that. So yesterday it felt like you were, livid, it seemed like, online, and everyone, that way it almost kind of... It kind of took away the win, the fact that it felt like you had to go up against all these people. I saw you ran a poll yesterday, and the poll did not go in your favor as far as what you wanted.
Oh, no. That was very similar to our fourth quarter poll. Wasn't it heading into the fourth quarter? In the 7 minutes to go, are you rooting for Miles' sack record or a win?
And Miles' sack record was taking it I checked at least, taking it like with a bullet.
That's fine. People can have their opinions. People can be wrong.
So where's the disconnect here? Where is the disconnect? Well, I always want to find this out when it feels like there's a take that's happening and you're in the minority in this take, but you feel so strongly and you feel so passionately about that. Where's the disconnect, do you feel like, between yourself and what now the majority is feeling?
Sports Twitter ruined being a fan.
Mm.
That's what it is. It's a bunch of people wanting to prove how smart they are and not... Maybe enjoying fandom. It is I Was Right radio, but in tweet form. It's the only thing I can think of. And listen, in fairness, this is 100% because this is a beaten downtown. This is what 26 years of losing do, where you sell yourself on hope. And hope is the greatest drug in this town when it comes to next year. Because we've already moved on from this year. Nothing that can happen this year is any good, right? People have written off Shador. And properly, by the way, they've written off Stefanski. We'll see. They've written off any meaning to this year. And so the next thing, you got to huff something, right? You got to live on hope. If you don't think your team's very good and you don't believe in the direction of this, so you're not sure Shador's the guy, maybe you've already written him off. You think Stefanski's a jamoke and he hasn't been fired yet. You don't like Andrew Berry. So what can you do? Huff those member berries, right? Get into it. Sniff it. Real good, that idea of Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore is going to save your ass, regardless of the actual fact of the matter, that yes, a lot of the franchise quarterbacks in the NFL are found in the first round. Getting the number one pick does not guarantee a damn thing.
Well, and as we saw last year, it doesn't even guarantee in getting the number two pick that you're going to even take the pick.
Yes.
Like, that's the part that I find so interesting. It's like, were we betting on the idea that they would take the quarterback, or are we then going to bet on the idea that they would just do the same trade down that we just saw last year?
I mean, I think they would take a quarterback if they got a top two pick.
I don't know. I would hope they would, but I don't know that they would.
But I don't know why 4 months from now supersedes right now. And this year is different. This year is different. You are playing for something. This goes back to the meaningless win thing that I think is disingenuous. And I think is, honestly, it's a lazy narrative. I think if you thought yesterday was a meaningless win, you don't realize there's a head coach coaching for his job. Whether you or I think he should be, or whether you or I think he should have already been fired, as I've fired him 10 times.
If Stefanski does get fired, then that part of the equation doesn't really matter.
Well, no, but we'll see. That is a we'll see. But Stefanski's coaching for his job, and quite frankly, we have not had a young quarterback, again, not a first-rounder, but a young quarterback playing for the future and playing to prove that he is a part of the future this late in the season, and it actually a real conversation after six games or going into the sixth game. We've not had this scenario almost in the entirety. Like when we've played Luke McCown in Week 17, that dude was his ass was grass. He wasn't going to do it. Like Spurgeon Wynn, Week 18, mm-hmm. He was never going to do it. This is such a anomalous situation that people just want to fall back on generalities. And guys, I really want to fall back on this. It can't be a meaningless win. It can't be when Shador's playing for the future, when Stefanski's playing for his job, when Andrew Berry might be, I don't know, twiddling his fingers and praying that somebody does something really good that makes his draft class look better. Like, they are building to something because Shador could be the starter next year. It's not meaningless. And to beat Pittsburgh, I'm not giving up on this. I've not given up on this rivalry. I've not given up what it means, because I'll tell you, when you play spoiler and you got nothing to win other than playing spoiler, that's not great. When you have things, tangible things to glean from a Week 17 game, when you've been eliminated from the playoffs for five mm-hmm. damn weeks, and you play spoiler, that's basically whatever hope you're chasing with the number one or number two pick, it's real hope in the minute. It's real. It's something real to cling on to.
In a weird way, it almost felt like Bengals fans, I would imagine, yesterday taking on the Cardinals and just running up the score. It's like, you know what? Yeah, that cost us draft position, but it was good to see Joe Burrow be able to light it up that way. And like the idea that Burrow and Chase could be back in sync and getting everything moving, like that matters. And that matters for next year. And so there's a lot of this that matters for next year. I do find the whole convo fascinating. I find it fascinating also because for the longest time in life, I was very staunchly, you know, just get the highest pick you possibly can. You've shifted me on that in some degree. I still believe that to be true if you think there's an Andrew Luck in the draft.
No, I agree.
But I don't think there is one right now.
I think Mendoza will be fine. I think Moore scares the crap out of me, but also tantalizes me. I think Mendoza's maybe Jared Goff. I'm not tanking for Jared Goff. If he falls to me, fine.
But I do wonder if some Browns fans look at it and say, all right, if you were going to be the number two pick and now you're the number six pick, if you, let's say, all of a sudden in this process, love Dante Moore, he is your everything, and you just, whoa, eyes wide open, well, it might cost you two first-round picks to go from six to two. And it was this win this last week, was that worth two first-round picks in your eyes?
No, because I wouldn't trade up, even if I love him. I like at some point you can take, I don't want to say the long road, because I don't think this is that, I don't think they're that far away. I think their tackles are incredibly historically bad. I think they clearly need a real number one receiver that won't turn instead of turning out to the sidelines to get a first down when you need it.
So, but it feels like you think that this is a 2 or 3 year process, which I don't disagree, by the way. I think a lot of fans are looking out there, and this is why they're upset. They're looking at it as, they want to win instantly. They want to start this thing as instant and as fast as you possibly can. And so you try to get to two to take your quarterback and you get this thing going. And that would delay that process. It basically.
They could be good next year, guys. They could. If you draft well again, if you have the same output that this year did and you stick with Shador and Shador continues to develop, which it is undeniable that he is developing.
And he's going to continue to develop. Yeah.
So if you do this, you can be competitive next year. Is that a 7-win team? I don't know. Neither do the Browns. Is that a 10-win team? I don't know. Neither do the Browns. But this idea that the only way that you fix anything is if you just suck into getting a number one or number two pick, it's more often than not, guys, we've lost on purpose so much. We literally lost for 3 straight years on purpose. You got a playoff win out of it. The two greatest symbols of tanking in the NFL the last decade are Miami and Cleveland, who ended up with Baker Mayfield, who didn't get a second contract here. And it's still a debate. Is he a top 5, top 10, top 15 quarterback? And Tua Tagovailoa, who got benched after 6 years, 7 years, and one good year, and he got benched for Quinn Ewers without a mullet. Quinn Ewers, like, what are we doing? Like, stop acting. And I get it.
Yes, the higher pick you have, the more options you have. Right. I do understand the science. Mm-hmm. Be a fan. Right? Let's all get back to, instead of this crap cynicism in social media that is ruining every facet of life, you post a picture of your dog and somebody's got a comment on whether that's a purebred dog or whether you did it the right way and went to a local humane shelter. You post a thought on happiness and somebody finds a way to crap on it. For the love of God, stop letting social media dictate the way you think. Stop changing.
I don't think this is social media. I think this is just a football way of processing and going through your thoughts.
But how did it become? Do you think it's in any ways a coincidence that this prevalence in suck on purpose has happened in the greatest propaganda machine we've ever had in our times on any level of news, sports, or whatever?
Well, I mean, which is social media and Twitter. Like 30 years ago, people didn't want to go ahead and suck to have the number one overall pick. Like, this has always been a part of sports.
I don't think it's to the level it is now.
Magnified because we're talking more sports discussions on a day in day out basis than has ever existed before, so maybe that's why it exists. But like, I think it's the instant gratification part of society. Maybe that part we can lean into, the idea that what is the quickest way to fix your franchise? Take Joe Burrow and want Cincinnati be in the Super Bowl 2 years later after sucking for a million years. I think that is a part of it, and I think people latch on to that. I also think there's a part of this Browns fan base that thinks that since 1999, taking only two quarterbacks in the top five isn't nearly enough. So I think there's enough people out there saying, hey, we've taken cracks at it, but a lot of the times, unless it's Tim Couch or Baker Mayfield, it's been cracks in the 20s. It's been cracks in 25 and 19 and 17. And if you have a number two overall pick, you're going to have likely the second best quarterback off the board. They want that. And so I don't think it's a bad thing.
But that's a fine Wednesday take. When you're in the game, root for a win. Especially, like, again, if this wasn't beating Tennessee or losing to Tennessee, which in the end I ended up being pretty ambivalent about.
By the way, I think that did prevail. It prevailed for myself, but again, this is that part of where we also stay on instant gratification. It's like, does that really help you out 5 months from now? For yourself, it might. But there's a whole stockload of people out there that think to themselves, that was like ice cream is all that was. That felt good in the moment. That did nothing for me from a dietary standpoint or a feeding me standpoint. That felt good in the moment.
Don't make me fight you on ice cream too, because I'll do that as well. No, like, here's the thing. Guys, again, if yesterday was part of Shador becoming a long-term play at quarterback where you have stability at quarterback in lieu of being able to take a number one or two pick this year on the quarterback position, that is some semblance of a win. That's not empty calories. If Kevin Stefanski, and again, you and I think we're on the same side when it comes to Kevin.
I don't think yesterday did anything for Stefanski.
I don't know. And I think it might have. And we can get into that in the next segment. But if the Browns' intention was, we need to see something to keep Kevin because that's what they think is best, and that affords you stability, then that has real repercussions, even if you and I think Stefanski is a bit of a magoo as a head coach.
Wouldn't this get people more angry? Like, if you told me the end result of yesterday's win is Stefanski stays for next year, I would have been rooting harder for our loss yesterday.
Yeah, but the point
is, I would have been screaming at the top of my lungs. Eric Rodgers, stop throwing towards Denzel Ward, you idiot!
But this is different. This is different between you and me thinking what's right for the Browns and what they want to do. Because I can't tell you if they keep Shador and Stefanski, it's not going to work out. I tend to think, give me Shador and a new head coach, but that's all up for discussion. But this idea of, well, it didn't mean it. No, it meant a lot. It could have significant repercussions on the next 3 years of Browns football, and it's not a guarantee that that's going to be a negative. And I think leaning into the negative or leaning into, and like, I didn't have a single person text me yesterday like, man, I hope Rodgers throws a touchdown here. Because why would you? Why would you choose misery in the moment, especially when that team is still playing for things? 216-474-0092.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.